A1.
Number 10A.
Now, up to now, we have been considering really that great statement which Mrs. Eddy makes, that divine metaphysics resolves things into thoughts. We have considered what that means, but her statement goes on and gives a second part and says, and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. So we will consider now the second part of this sentence, namely the exchanging of the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, which means the exchanging of a mortal consciousness for a immortal consciousness. See, up to now we have just analyzed that first we have to do with consciousness, whatever the situation is, it is a situation of consciousness. Then we have investigated mortal consciousness, how things have been reduced to mortal thought, to mortal consciousness. And now we must see the solution for this mortal consciousness, namely to exchange it for immortal consciousness. Therefore, we begin to realize that we have to give to our human consciousness a higher tone, a higher form, a higher content, namely the content of the divine consciousness. So, we can see that there is a way in front of us which leads us from mortal consciousness to the end of immortal consciousness. And between the starting point and the end, so to say, lies that large realm of the transitional stages. So we know that we cannot jump really from one day to the other, from mortal consciousness to immortal consciousness. Even Jesus had to go the way. He couldn't achieve everything in 1 minute. And also for us, it is good to realize that though we may always start from the absolute, from the divine, that it takes a way, and it means that we have to go the way which leads from mortal consciousness to immortal consciousness. The intermediary stages are therefore of varying degrees. We also could say that this passage from mortal consciousness to immortal consciousness is really a passage from misunderstanding to understanding. And the intermediary stage again is a constant yielding of this misunderstanding and a constant enlightenment of understanding. So that the starting point is our misunderstanding, then we go through various stages of enlightenment where misunderstanding yields, until finally our consciousness is full of the divine understanding. You see, I always point out 3 degrees, so to say. First degree is mortal mind or mortal consciousness or misunderstanding. Then the second degree is that transitionary stage where mortal mind disappears, where more light breaks into our consciousness. It has various degrees of stages and states. And finally, the third degree of immortal consciousness, of the divine understanding, of the divine mind. Now these 3 degrees are depicted in the Christian Science textbook on page 115 and 116. There, the first degree is called depravity. Really, we have seen that mortal consciousness is nothing more than a depraved state of consciousness, a state of consciousness full of beliefs, of universal beliefs, collective beliefs, individual beliefs, unconscious beliefs. It's a state of depravity, and so it is also called the physical, and is defined as unreality. Mrs. Eddy gives in that degree qualities of depravity like evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, death. We find here really a whole collection of mortal material beliefs. Then she shows the second degree, the transitional qualities, as she calls them. It is that stage where evil beliefs disappear, and so she gives the title there, Evil Beliefs Disappearing. It's a transitional stage where evil beliefs disappear in a greater and greater percentage, in a greater and greater degree. And so Mrs. Eddy calls this degree the moral state. In this second degree, we find, therefore, moral qualities, among which she depicts humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. See, there are qualities which are not yet completely spiritual or divine. They are ethical qualities. Then she gives the third degree, which she calls understanding, and therefore comprises spiritual qualities, and so calls this third degree the spiritual degree, or reality. We can see that really understanding is something which is spiritual, and only the spiritual is real and gives a sense of reality. Here we find spiritual ideas, no more moral qualities. This third degree, the spiritual degree, comprises spiritual qualities like wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. There are seven. So we can see how the way is laid out for us, which shows that the first degree, which is depravity, has to give way. And as it gives way, and as evil beliefs disappear, a moral state of living and of things begins to appear, until finally the third degree is worked out, namely the spiritual or understanding, which is the real. These three degrees are very practical in their application, but we must hold in mind something which is super important, namely, we have seen before that Mrs. Eddy says that we should not try to improve material beliefs by thoughts tending spiritually upward, that is the condemnation of mortals, that is the effort of the Adam dream to try to improve, therefore, the first degree, so that we reach a moral degree, the second degree, and then from there work up to the third degree, to the spiritual. We must realize that these three degrees appear in the Christian Science textbook after the explication of the scientific translation of immortal mind on page 115. The 3 degrees depict the scientific translation of mortal mind, which is the effect of the first translation, the scientific translation of immortal mind, showing really that in the measure as we are one with the divine mind, and in the measure as our unity with the divine mind becomes the saving power for us, and therefore in that measure as God's power translates itself to us, that in that measure really evil beliefs are disappearing, that they give way and give way more until the third degree appears in its fullness. So you see, the attitude which we take is not an attitude where we say we start out from the first degree and try to work out of the first degree into the second, into the moral state of things, and then try morally very hard to reach the third degree, the spiritual. But we must realize that this disappearing of the material beliefs and the appearing of spiritual qualities is the effect of that first translation, the scientific translation of immortal mind. So that we begin to realize that our starting point should always be our unity with God, the absolute, the perfect. But that consciousness has a Christ which manifests itself on the human plane as the disappearing of the first degree, the appearing of the second degree, then the disappearing again of the second degree, and the appearing of the third degree. For the moment, this is sufficient. We will come back to it later on. For the moment, we just have to see that if we have to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, that we do not try to use the moral as our power of salvation. I have to point that out because, to a very large degree, religion tries to do that. Religion tries to use moral qualities as the power of salvation. They find that the use of ethical and moral qualities is really the height of religion and of living, and it isn't. And we should realize, really, that the moral is insufficient. The moral is good and is right and should not be discarded with in any way, not a bit. But what I want to point out is that the moral is insufficient, and that when we have to deal with metaphysics, we have to exchange the objects of sense not for better morals, but to exchange them for the ideas of soul. The whole Bible is showing us the fallacy of the second degree, of the moral degree, and always tries to point out that if we try to work out things on a moral basis, that we will be always licked by the first degree, by depravity. Let me just give one example which is very illustrative. Namely, we know right at the beginning of the Bible we have Adam. And Adam had 3 sons. Those 3 sons are types of the 3 degrees. They were Cain, Abel, and Seth. Cain, symbolizing really the first degree, depravity. Abel, symbolizing the second degree, the moral degree. And Seth, symbolizing the third degree, the spiritual degree. Now we know that Abel was slain by Cain. And always we find that people are asking, why was Abel slain by Cain when Abel was the higher state of consciousness than Cain? Is that the proof that really evil is more powerful than good? It's a lifelong question which comes up every day in one's life. Why is it that the Cain state of consciousness can slay the Abel state of consciousness? Well, what people don't realize is that Abel was depicting the moral state of consciousness and not the divine state of consciousness. And we should learn the lesson that against depravity, a moral standard is not sufficient, never is sufficient. Every day's life proves that over and over and over, that the Cain slays the Abel. But when Abel was slain by Cain, Adam and Eve realized that something is still wrong, that they haven't found the solution yet. And so, in place of Abel, they brought forth a third son, called Seth. And of Seth and his son, it is written, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You see how the third generation there, the third son of Adam, symbolizes the third degree, the divine degree, the spiritual degree, where thought is at one with the name of the Lord, with the word of God. Seth then really is the father of the Semitic religion, is the father from where the spiritual idea developed and developed. So the third degree is only the answer for Cain and for Abel. Now we have perhaps another illustration of how a moral concept of God or of being is insufficient. If you take the whole book of Judges, you will find there again how they had to see through this claim that on a moral basis they cannot work out their problems of being, their government. You know, in Judges it is said that in those days there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they had a moral concept of what is right and wrong. They weren't bad people. They did what was wrong in their own eyes. They did what was good and right, but in their own eyes. They didn't try to do that which is right in God's eyes. So they symbolize really a state of the second degree. And you know how often you meet people who say, I don't need any religion. I have my own religion. I do that which is right. I do that which is according to my right conscience. Well, that's the moral state of conscience. And you will see that they will be licked over and over and over by the Cain state of consciousness. Now, in Judges, they had that state of consciousness. And what happened? And the story is a recurring story. About seven times the same story recurs. Namely, it was said that the children of God did evil in the sight of the Lord. See, first they said they did what was right in their own eyes. But when one was asking God, God was saying, but they do evil in the eye of the Lord. Because the moral state of consciousness is not the right state of consciousness. So, with a moral state of consciousness, we just can't help but to do evil in the eye of the Lord. You see, again, we have to have categories. We have to see what is right in one category, namely in the category of morality, is not right in another category, in the category of divinity. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. That's what so often happens, that people say, I don't need a religion, I have my own religion, namely I do what is right according to my own conscience. So they forsake the Lord their God. They forsake that which is the set state of consciousness where they called upon the name of the Lord. Then the next thing that would always happen to Israel was that the Lord God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. See, Cain would always come and slay them. They were delivered into the hands of their enemies, into the first degree. Again, Abel is slain by Cain. Then, when that happened, then the turning point usually came. Then it is said the people cried unto the Lord. See, now they turn to the third degree, to the spiritual. Then they cried to the Lord. Beforehand they said, well, we do what is right in our own eyes. But then when they are licked, as Abel was licked by Cain, then thought is turned to the third degree, to the Seth state of consciousness, where they turn to the name of the Lord. Then it is said, when the people would turn to the third degree, that the Lord God sends them a judge, a savior. See, always turning in consciousness to God has in itself a saving power. And so the Lord would send them a savior. And then this savior delivers the people from the hands of their enemies, showing that the third degree of understanding, of spirituality, that has the power to free us from the first degree. The moral state hasn't the power to free us from the first degree. And then it would be stated, the land had peace for 40 years. See, a certain state of peace and rest and completion was established. A higher sense of the second degree, really, was established. Then, when one reads further, the whole story starts all over again, saying that everyone did what is right in his own eyes, and that displeased the Lord God, then the Lord would deliver them again into the hands of the enemies, and so on. And that recurs over and over and over, just showing the value of understanding what is the first degree, the second degree, and the third degree. And by teaching us that we should never try to work out our problems with moral qualities. That the moral state of consciousness is really only the outcome of a divine state of consciousness in human history and on the human plane of living. Well, this has given us a key what we have to do. That really only understanding, you see, the third degree is our savior. The understanding which is the fourth side of the holy city, science. And so I have come really to the end of explaining that fourth side of the holy city. Let us just review what we have done up to now. You know, we started by seeing that the problems of life can be reduced to 4 points, to the world, to the Christ, to Christianity, and to science. Then we were investigating what it means to have a word of God. Afterwards, what it means to have a Christ, what the Christ means. Then we have investigated the sense of Christianity and man. And now, for the last few hours, we have investigated what is our authority that teaches us the truth about the first side, the second side, and the third side of the Holy City. And we have now seen that we cannot rely on human consciousness, on mortal consciousness, on traditional beliefs, but that we have to exchange that consciousness for the real truth, namely for a consciousness of God, which we must understand, for understanding. That really understanding is the keynote for everything, for our whole life problems. And now, as we have seen, that understanding and science is really the main point, only that can really give us an answer to the question, what is truth and what is error, what is real, what is unreal. We can now, from this fourth side, review the Word, the Christ, and Christianity in its science. From what I will do from now on is to review now the Word of God from the point of view of the fourth side of the Holy City, from the point of view of science. Then afterwards to review the Christ from the point of view of science, then Christianity from the point of view of science, and lastly even to investigate the scientific nature of a science. So really what I want to do now is to discuss the science of the Word, to discuss the Word of God when we investigate it as a science, through understanding. Then we will go on to the Christ and investigate the science of the Christ, to see what is the Christ when looked at through science, through the lens of science and understanding. And then the same, the science of Christianity, and then the science of all science. So I will start now with the science of the Word of God, and see what this Word of God really means when I approach it through a scientific understanding. You see, the fourth side, science, teaches us what is true, teaches us therefore what is the true Word of God. But we have seen right at the beginning of our class that the Word of God is our guiding principle in everything, and that therefore we have to approach always this guiding principle when we want to solve a problem. Therefore, how should we approach this Word of God if we approach it in a scientific way? So let us discuss this from various angles. First of all, let us recapitulate quickly what we have seen about the Word of God. We have seen the Word of God is really the self-declaration of God, where God declares his own nature and says what it is, where God declares what he is in God's view, from God's point of view. So that we can really say that the Word of God is the true standard of being. And we have seen that this true standard of being can be defined through the definition of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. By such definition, we get the true norm of being. Do you know the term norm? Yes, the true norm of being, the true standard of being. And in this way, we begin to understand reality and to distinguish it from the human concept of the Word of God. You see, in the measure as we understand the standard of God, the definition of God, we also understand the falsity of the human concept of God. And so, by learning both what God is and what God is not, we really begin to make a great distinction. Now, in order to have a clear-cut distinction, you see, you have to understand the subject. Only understanding is that firmament which divides truth from error, which divides the true sense of what God is from the false sense of what God is. So only through an understanding, really, we can really grasp the nature, essence, and wholeness of God and distinguish it clearly from the counterfeit concept of God. Now, when I say, therefore, that we can only approach God through understanding, I may raise with it a few critical remarks, because theology and most religion will tell me that we can approach God and become familiar with the nature of God through other means than understanding, namely either through a religious belief, or second, through faith. And those who say that we can approach God through faith will rely on the text of the Bible, where faith, especially in the New Testament, is the means of how to communicate with God. But I have already brought out, right at the beginning of this class, that the biblical meaning of faith in the New Testament has another meaning than that we give today in common language to this term faith. In John's Gospel, faith means, according to Bible commentary, the consent of reason to the revealed truth. So that the biblical use of faith really has the meaning of our term called spiritual understanding. So again, this critical remark that the Bible would teach us that the approach to God is through faith doesn't hold good. That they could see, as Paul would see, that he's not worshipping the unknown God, but he said, the God, this God I declare unto you. He knew God. He understood God. But he had a trust, a faith in this understanding. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy makes this following statement when we consider belief, faith, and understanding as 3 degrees, she says, until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. And that is so. We must realize that belief has no relation with the actual and divine. That's why I spent such a long time in explaining mortal consciousness, which is just an agglomeration of human beliefs. That we must see that these universal beliefs, collective beliefs, and individual beliefs, that they never can commune with the actual and divine. Neither can blind faith, religious faith. But the only thing that can be at one with reality is really understanding, spiritual understanding. That alone has a relation to the actual and divine.